three children and a teacher at the Taraka Community School in Lae, Papua New Guinea, died in less than two weeks, in April 1985. The school was closed for 3 weeks. At the inquest, sorcerers claimed they had cast a bad spell. The coroner gave Helen and I the magic claimed to be the cause of the deaths. And this was a cassowary feather, an eagle feather, snake's teeth, coral, seaweed, and a human bone. Also, the coroner gave me a tablet found in the pocket of the teacher who died, and I analysed it and found it was chloroquine, an anti-malarial which is lethal in high doses. After further forensic tests, and the school was blessed by three ministers, and the students returned to school. There is a power that sorcerers have, or witch doctors, or whatever you call them, in some countries. At times, Christian students in Papua New Guinea came to us and said, "Can we pray for them as they go back to their village?" because they were fearful of their encounter with the sorcerers there, and they needed the power of God in their lives. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, recognized the power of magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers. He was a powerful king. He extended the empire of his father, and following the defeat of the remnant of the Assyrian army, he conquered Syria and the surrounding areas, including Judah. In 605 BC, he besieged Jerusalem. He took away a number of the temple vessels and put these treasures into the treasure house of his god, Marduk. He also took away to Babylon some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility. Daniel chapter 1 verse 4 tells us that these were young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. And these young men included Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we may wonder whether the God of the king of Babylon was more powerful than the God of the Israelites. How could God allow the treasures from the temple to be taken and put in the places where idols were worshipped in Babylon? How could God allow these young men to be taken from Jerusalem and to be taken to Babylon? How would Daniel and his friends cope? How would they cope academically with the training they were to receive? And above all, how would they cope spiritually in this place of idol worship? They were far away from their homeland and their temple. Where was their God? What would Nebuchadnezzar make of these Israelites? What would he make of their God? So let's continue the story, a story that you, I'm sure, well know. In Daniel chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, we read that at the end of their training, Nebuchadnezzar talked with Daniel and his friends and found none equal to them. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. Did the king wonder why they were so clever, why they were so intelligent? When Nebuchadnezzar had a troubling dream, all the king's wise men couldn't reveal the dream that the king had and its meaning. But Daniel could. And what was the king's reaction? So we turn to Daniel 2, 20:45-47. And he said, "The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true and the interpretation is trustworthy. Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery concerning his dream of this statue made of gold and silver and bronze and iron." And so Nebuchadnezzar came to accept that the God of Daniel had given Daniel a dream, had given Daniel the dream, the power to reveal dreams. And maybe that's as far as it went, just another God, the God of Daniel. In his interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the statue, Daniel revealed to Nebuchadnezzar that, "Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold." And so the proud king then erected a giant image of himself, about 27 meters high, and ordered that everyone must fall down and worship the image. Failure to do so would result in death in the fiery furnace. And we're all familiar with what happened next. And let's hear Nebuchadnezzar's reaction as found in Daniel 2, 26:28-29. So the amazed king said, "I saw four men walking in the fire, and one looks like a son of the gods. Servants of the Most High God, come out of the furnace. Come here. Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their God. Therefore, I decree that any person who says anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be severely punished. For no other God can save in this way." And so the great king who was training these young Israelite men in the wisdom of the Babylonians was himself coming to a knowledge of the great God. Now he recognizes that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is a God who saves. And we wonder, would he come to know God in a more personal way? And God had more in store for Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had another troubling dream, and we might wonder, does he keep dreaming? Is he? And this dream terrified him. The other one troubled him about the meaning of this statue. But this dream terrified him. Again, Daniel could do what the wise men of Babylon could not do. He interpreted this terrifying dream, which contained a warning to the king of what might happen to him. But did the king heed the warning that he was given? Well, it's been read to us already. 12 months later, as the king Nebuchadnezzar, who had built the hanging baskets of hanging garden of Babylon, was walking on the roof of his royal palace, he said, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built by my mighty power for my glory?" Immediately his dream was fulfilled. The king was driven away from the people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. And Nebuchadnezzar himself testified, "It is my pleasure to tell you, everybody, about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me." At the end of that time, of punishment, I raised my eyes towards heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honoured and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. And at the same time that I acknowledge God as being the Most High God, the great God, my sanity was restored, my honour and splendour were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is also able to humble. And so this proud king who built a giant statue of himself for the people to bow down to and considered that he had built the great Babylon and he was so great, was recognized that God is the God who humbles people and God is the God who turns people's hearts to him. And so through God's punishment and restoration, he learnt that the Most High God performed miraculous signs and wonders, and he praised and exalted and glorified the King of Heaven. And we might wonder, did at last Nebuchadnezzar truly, was he truly a believer in God, or was God Almighty, the Lord God, just one of a number of other gods? We don't know, but we see in the book of Daniel how through the wisdom that God gave to Daniel, that Daniel was able to talk to this king, this lowly Israelite boy was able to talk to this great king about the God Most High. So I have here a Bible. And initially Nebuchadnezzar thought, well, there's nothing in it. Who is this God? But then he came to understand a bit more about God as Daniel was able to interpret his dreams. And then he saw a little bit about God and as God was revealing himself to him. And then through his, when God humbled him and punished him and Nebuchadnezzar lifted up his eyes to God and worshipped God, then the truth, God's truth, came to him in a colourful way, a real way. And today in Australia we may feel that the kingdom of God is being overcome by the kingdom of the world. We may feel that things are happening around us are just so much we can't cope with them. What is God doing? What are we to do? Is God interested in people who do not know him or reject him? Well, we believe that he is, and he wants everyone to hear. But how are they to hear? The book of Daniel reminds us of how a powerful king, a ruler of a great kingdom, learnt of the mighty God through young, godly boys. They were not wise in themselves. And Daniel acknowledges it was God's wisdom, it was God's revelation to them that they could interpret the dreams, and was God's working in the lives of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego that allowed them to be rescued from the fiery furnace. Would we become a Daniel to someone who is lost? Not a person who knows everything, who is 10 times wiser than all the wise people of the world, But a person who trusts in God and is willing for God to allow them to meet people in the street or invite people into their home and share the word of God with them. We think of two Chinese girls that we met in Papua New Guinea, and they knew nothing about the Bible, but they wanted to know. And so we used to meet with them. It was supposed to be for an hour. And we started, they said, well, let's start at the beginning and go right through to the end of the Bible. We want to know about this God. And after an hour or so was up, we said, oh, it's time for us to go home now. And they said, no, we want to know what the God does next. They were so keen to know about God and his word. And there are people, well, it's our prayer that there are people in Strathalbyn today who want to know about God, that God has placed a hunger in their hearts. And so I just come back to Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the statue, the dream that represented the head of gold was the Babylonian kingdom, and then the silver, the next part of the body was silver, and that represented the Medes and Persians, and then bronze, and iron, and that represented different kingdoms that were to follow. And then we read this amazing thing in Daniel chapter 2, verses 34 to 35. After describing these kingdoms, Daniel mentions, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace, but the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. And of course that's speaking about Jesus coming and setting up his kingdom, and the kingdom of God is greater than the kingdoms of this world. And so we could ask ourselves, well, are we desiring God to be working in our lives, to be building up his kingdom? Are we living in fear? No, because God is great. God is mighty. God is able to save. And we can put our trust in him. And we can come to know him more and more in our lives. As he doesn't just use Daniel or David or other people like that. He can use us because he is mighty. He is mighty to save. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And your word tells us about